Hallelujah. I appreciate the spirit of God that's here this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on. Say amen.
Amen.
One more time. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we have an expression in the States. I don't know if you heard it or you have an expression that is similar to it. We call it preaching to the choir. Have you ever heard it before? Huh? It's like preaching to the ministers. You know, you should know everything. You do know everything. You're more articulate. You're more qualified. And yet God takes you and you have you preach to the choir. Hallelujah. And it throws me off a little bit, but praise God, I'm overcoming.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There is something of a word that is on my heart this morning, and I want to try to articulate it. There are so many thoughts that come, so many impressions that I receive. It's difficult sometimes to sort them out and to get them in the line that God wants them in, but by His grace, I believe that He will help me this morning. I believe personally that we are standing on the verge of a wave of revival. I think I shared on Friday night when we were here. Was it Friday night?
Yes, it was Friday night.
Hallelujah. It was Thursday night. See, I'm not the only one gets mixed up in that. On Thursday night, I believe that we are standing on the threshold of a revival. And I believe that that as we are there and looking at it, there is a quickening in each of our hearts who have been sighing and crying for the presence of God. Are you sighing? Are you crying?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Have you noticed something about your position of relationship? Have you noticed something about your experience with God? Maybe it isn't what it used to be. Maybe it's somewhat dry. Maybe it's somewhat discouraging. I don't know. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you don't have to deal with these human qualities. But sometimes I just have to step back and I have to say, God, where are you? What are you doing? Why is it that it's so difficult, you know, in all of these things? But I believe that we are now coming to a time frame. We are now coming. We are on the verge, on the threshold.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, I've read so many, growing up as a young man, and I fed on these biographies of these Christian heroes and people in other countries doing these mighty things, and the wave of revival that was coming, and all of the things that were working, the experiences. I had a woman in my mother's home who went through much of the 1948 Latter Rain movement in the States, and she was a missionary to China, and she would tell us such marvelous stories. Hallelujah. And as a young man, I was just like a bird. I said, give me more. I want to hear more. I want to know, why is it that we do not have that experience? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And she would say to me, Bert, it's not a matter of knowing. It's not a matter of attaining. It's not a matter of having the understanding. It is a matter of relationship. Hallelujah. You know, God was so faithful to me as a young man, and as I was maturing and growing in the things of God, He would bring people into my life, and they would tell me such marvelous things about God, such fantastic things about God, that it was so hard for me to comprehend, but something down inside me, and sometimes very hard to believe. Of course, you probably never had that problem, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a man called Henry Gruber. I don't know if you are aware of him, but you know, this man has so many testimonies of how God... You know, I don't think it's possible for people to kill him. Hallelujah. I don't believe it's possible. He has such a faith in God. He has such an ability to believe God in that type of situation. The devil has tried to kill him over and over and over again. He goes into places you wouldn't even think of going. Hallelujah. One night he was walking through a street where no white man should ever walk. And somebody came out with a knife and grabbed him and said, give me your money or I'll kill you. He says, I'm already dead. That's all it took. Some man like a scared rabbit screaming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These things, they excite me.
Amen.
They whet my appetite. They push me.
Amen.
They make me want to have that position, that place, that relationship. I want to have that experience.
Amen.
Of course, I don't want the tribulation. If you want the experience, you have to have the circumstance.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
If you want the experience, if you want the reality, you have to have the circumstance.
Amen.
The circumstance is designed to split eternity. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
It's designed to split the curtain between time and eternity.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I think, in some part. I want to talk to you about the eternity of God. Because the eternity of God is the reality of who God is. How do you understand that? Do you understand that? The eternity of God being the substance and the reality of who He is? Hallelujah. But He is true. Huh? He's eternal. No beginning. No end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me draw you a little picture, if I may. Hallelujah. Some of you probably heard this before, but hang on to your seat. You're going to hear it again. Hallelujah. You know, I traveled with Brother Duciel for almost 38 years. And I believe I probably have heard the tabernacle more times than any of you combined together. Hallelujah. And every time I heard it,
yes.
Something new.
Yeah.
Something new!
Yeah.
I'm sitting here last night. You know, how many times have I read that story of the woman at the well? Huh? How many times have I read it? How many times have I used it? How many times have I heard it ministered? I don't know if I was sitting there last night and if you heard me yelp.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But that yelp was God. He touched me and He gave me a revelation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just a little piece, just a little part in the midst of all of it. So God is so absolutely magnificent.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
God is so absolutely out of my mind. Hallelujah. Out of the ability for me to comprehend. But what little piece of it that I can comprehend, I want it.
Amen.
Hello? I want it. Can you hear me? I want it. Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied, Brother Leslie, of being on the fringe. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with some position or place of doing a little. I want all of it.
Yes, hallelujah.
I want all of it. I want all of it. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want it just for myself. Hallelujah. But all of it that I can get, I want it. I don't want to settle for anything less. All of you, most of you, or some of you, are very well educated. You have your success in the things that you're doing. Hallelujah. You have things that God has blessed you with. And that's marvelous. Those things are absolutely wonderful. But if you allow those things to deter you, to detract you, to tie you up, to make you unprotective in the spirit, and to keep you from advancing or growing into the things of God, those things are not your benefit. They will destroy you. They will destroy you. They will rob you of your eternity. Hallelujah. And let's go beyond that. Your personal assessment of things and the way that you respond to them, those things will also hinder the flow of God in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you hinder the flow, when you block the flow, when you stop the flow, God withdraws.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God withdraws. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God. And
He will draw nigh.
What if you don't draw nigh? What if you back up?
My God.
Hallelujah. So the totality of our eternity is not dependent upon what we know.
That's right.
our totality of eternity is dependent on who we know. Know the reality of Him. Know the essence of Him. Know the concept of Him. Know the thing that somebody comes to you and say, well, God's just a figment of your imagination. Figment of my imagination. He's right there all beside me. And then they come and they haul you off to the loony bin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have a God that is eternal. Hallelujah. And we have a God that lives in eternity. Hallelujah. And this really isn't, you know, one time I was in, we were in a school. That was in Central African Republic. I love that blackboard. I love that blackboard. It started on the side of the room and it went up to the front and it went across the room and it went over there on that side. So when you draw eternity, you just walk over. Wasn't that where it was at? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I started over there and I ended up over there. Praise the Lord, but this is a little bit confining. But we will say that this is eternity. Right? This is eternity. If you can imagine it. This has no end. I'm just drawing this for illustration. This doesn't have any boundaries. No beginning. No beginning. Did you hear that? Let's say that. No beginning.
No beginning.
Huh?
Yes.
No beginning.
No beginning.
Do we believe God has any beginning?
No.
Hallelujah. Do we believe that God has any end? Does God have an ending?
No.
No ending. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. No beginning, no end. We're all in agreement, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's say praise the Lord.
I
don't want you falling asleep on me.
No way.
Because if you fall out of your chair and break your neck, I might not have the place. That's all you'll be, deaf. Hallelujah. And I don't want you deaf. Physically or spiritually.
Yes, man.
Hallelujah. All right. No beginning, no end. Then, who is Alpha? Huh? God. Wait a minute. There's a confusion here. He has no beginning. And yet he has a beginning.
Yeah, he is the beginning. He is the beginning. Hallelujah.
He is the Alpha.
Omega.
So he has no beginning, has no end, and yet he has a beginning and he has an end.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. What is it that he is saying to you and I? What is the mystery? What is the secret? Do you want to know the secrets of God? He's ready to tell you. This secret, these things that are secret in God, they're not just designated for certain people. They're designated for a congregation, a group, a collective body of people. My job is to whet your appetite. My job is just to touch you, to get you interested. My job is to work and to bring you to a place to where you begin to move with God to find out what the revelation or the understanding of what it is God is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. No beginning, no end, but yet, hallelujah, God is the Alpha. What is the Alpha of? Hallelujah. He's the Alpha of time. Hello? Alpha. Huh? He's the Alpha. In the beginning. Before that, there was no beginning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hear it. He is the beginning. Beginning of what? Beginning of time. God is the beginning of time. Well, praise God. Then what is Omega? Huh? It's the finish of time. Hello? Can you say amen?
Yeah.
You guys are looking at me like you're examining me under a microscope. Hallelujah. I'm really not crazy. Hallelujah. I'm just excited. Hallelujah. Beginning. So, God began time. Does God need time?
No.
Huh? God in himself, in the aspect of who he is and what he is, does he need time?
No,
he doesn't need time, but he needs time. But he doesn't need time for himself. He needs time for what it is that he has purposed from the beginning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the first thing that God did in the beginning of time was what? Huh? Well, there was light. There's something else from the beginning. Huh?
He spoke,
but even before he spoke. Hallelujah. It says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. That means before the foundation, the Lamb was slain. That's Revelation 13, 12, 21. Praise the Lord. Bible students, write it down. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Hallelujah. You know, I tell these people, I go to many different countries. I say, you go to God and ask them about me and what I'm saying to you. I'm not afraid of God. Hallelujah. And if I'm wrong, I need to be challenged. And I go to God. I've been challenged many times. Praise the Lord. So we have the foundational position. And you know what? I believe, I haven't been able to find the mystery of it, but I think somebody might sometime, somewhere, be able to do it. You could just superimpose the tabernacle on the time frame that God gives you, because he gives you 7,000 years.
Yes.
Hello? Gives you 7,000 years to accomplish Alpha to Omega.
That's right.
So the purpose of God is not just to get you into heaven there. You thought you were just going to heaven. You could say so you wouldn't be in heaven and go to hell, you would go to heaven, right? Isn't that what you got to say? But God had a bigger plan. God had a bigger purpose for saving you. He didn't want to get you into heaven. He wanted to get heaven inside of
you.
Where is heaven?
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Where is heaven? Come on! Are you there?
Yes.
Where are you?
Here.
Where are you? There you go. Hallelujah. God did not want to get you into heaven. Church lied to you.
Yes, they did.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Right.
Listen to me. Church lied to you.
Amen. Thank you.
They said, oh, you get saved, join the church, pay your tithe, get baptized, and come to church on Wednesday night, Sunday night. Get involved in the community. Get involved in the work, feeding the poor, doing this, doing that. And you might get into heaven, maybe.
Right.
And on top of that, don't think that God will talk to you personally. You need a supervisor. You need an overseer. You need a pastor. You need a bishop. You need an apostle. And I'm using that outside of the context.
Yeah.
You know, we just came from a minister's conference. Oh, by God. There's the apostles. There's the bishops. There's the cardinals. There's the monsignors. There's the deacons. There's the elders. Hallelujah. And we give them a message. They don't change their behavior. They change their titles. They become shepherds. They become ministers. Evangelists. Hallelujah. And they still operate under the totalitarian system of hell. Hallelujah! My God, come on, brethren. I've come to the point where I do not draw any line. It says they scour the world to make one proselyte,
yes,
and they make you twofold times more the child of hell. Ooh, than of hell.
Jesus.
Hallelujah! You know, I have to repent. I have to repent. If there's anybody, I don't know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I can tell you I have for years and years and years sat under this word, and I detest the position or the pastoral mentality.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But I found myself in a situation where nobody was doing anything. Nobody was doing anything. nobody was doing. They would talk about it. We will pray about it. So they talked and they prayed and they talked and they prayed and they talked and they prayed. And I said, God, I'm just going to do it. So I did it. Again and again and again and again. I did it. Unbeknownst to me, my good intentions, my burden, my thoughts, and my reasons for doing it were moving me, manipulating me into a pastoral position. Hallelujah. And you know what God did? You got any ideas? Oh, he came knock on my door, right? Oh, you're submitting yourself to a pastoral spirit. You better watch out what you're doing. Oh, no, that's not what God did. God allowed contention to rise up against me in the midst of the people. Hello? They allowed that contention, allowed that strife, and they begin to say things about me. Yes, can you imagine that, OJ, talking about me? And it wasn't in a productive manner. Hallelujah. I was building my own kingdom. I was making myself an apostle. I was making myself this and doing this and that and this and that. And I had to step back. Hello? Now, I could get very, very agitated. Not angry, right? Agitated. No doubt about it. I was mad. I was just plain, flat mad. Not only was I mad, but I was offended mad. How in the world, in the name of God, could they think that of me? And then I said, make a list of what I'm doing. I'm doing this, doing this, doing this. So I'm making it so to prove, to vindicate my position of righteousness. I found out I was doing everything. from all the ministerial things, all the activities with the young people, all the magazines, and in also building and working physically upon the church.
My God.
Hallelujah. Come on, brethren! I do not want to be a pastor!
Hallelujah!
And you know, one of the things I like about what God do me now, how God is doing me now, I'm in and I'm out. I'm in and then I'm gone. You see me today, you don't see me tomorrow. Hallelujah. And it becomes your responsibility. Becomes your responsibility to hear from God.
Amen.
The congregation of people, the boards of the tabernacle, right? They are to do what? Hold the bars. They hold them in place. They keep them in their position, their proper perspective. Hello? They don't grasp them and hang on to them, but they are holding it, and they are working in conjunction with it, and they are moving under the auspices of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And there, the tabernacle has 7 pieces of furniture. As you all will not, and I'm not going to go into all of those 7 things. Hallelujah. The Ark of the Covenant is two pieces. This is 2 pieces. But they are 7 works of grace. They are 7 operations of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That is to work in every believer's life, bringing them to the conclusion of Omega.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You get rid of the tabernacle, you get rid of the revelation, you get rid of the understanding, you go to church, and they teach you all kinds of things. They preach good manners, they preach good conduct, they preach family, they preach this, they preach that, all these good things, all these things that are beneficial. But if they are not accomplishing the purpose for which God created you, do you hear me? In the beginning, God desired to make one man.
Yeah.
Huh? One man. not a church, not an organization, not a do-good, benevolent operation, hallelujah, of Christians working together for a common goal, a common reason, a common practice, hallelujah. He did it for one reason, one reason alone, and that reason was to duplicate himself.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we enter into God through much
tribulation.
No, come on. Much
tribulation.
Much
tribulation.
Oh boy, that's weak. That is really weak. Hallelujah. If you don't like tribulation, go home. If you don't like hard being pressed hard, if you don't want to be challenged, go home. That's what the commandment was to Gideon's army, wasn't it?
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Oh, I can hear somebody now, Brother George. He's a hard man. Huh? It's true. If you don't want the tribulation, go home.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, you go home, you're going to feel lonely, left out, wiped out, picked on, and end up in a terrible position of condition. Hallelujah. Because outside of God, on the basis of what you have heard, you're in trouble.
He said,
you're in trouble if you do it. You're in trouble if you don't do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the first thing that God did in the beginning, besides to establish the testimony of the blood, was that he divided something. That makes you nervous, huh? He divided something. He divided light from darkness. No sun, no moon, so it's not talking about a natural set of circumstances. He's not talking about a natural condition, a situation. He's talking about a spiritual environment that has spiritual overtone and consequences. Hallelujah. This was before he did time. You know that. This was before he did time. Hallelujah. Because somehow, someway, in the midst of eternity, this is all eternity out here, by the way. Eternity is all around time. On the top, on the bottom, on the front, and on the back side. Eternity is all around us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have eternity all around us. And he had a problem in eternity with something that was called darkness.
Right.
Hallelujah. Darkness is just that thing that is in opposition to what it is God is.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. As God is light and life, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you go through the rest of the chapter, put it down, go in, look it up. Make it up. John chapter 1. No. Hallelujah. Go and look it up. Don't take my word for it. Hallelujah. And he also said, this is the light that shineth into the darkness. What darkness is he talking about?
Yeah.
The darkness then or the darkness before?
No.
It's all the same darkness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. It's all the same darkness. Hallelujah. So he said, the position of darkness, he said there was a problem and I need to deal with it. How am I going to deal with it? I know. I will create an entity that is like unto me, that will deal with the darkness, deal with the fact of the rebellion that was going on in heaven.
Yes.
Hello? How do I know there was rebellion in heaven? How do I know that? How do you know that? Maybe I'm telling you a story. Maybe I'm not telling you the truth. You think there was rebellion in heaven? How do you know that? Oh, it says so. Oh, yeah, praise God. When did it say so?
Isaiah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Huh? No.
You said it right.
Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah 4. Somebody find Jeremiah 4. And it describes, read the whole chapter. It describes a condition of sedition and rebellion. And what identifies it with Genesis chapter 1 is the terminology that is used in a particular verse in that chapter. Hallelujah. Because it says in Genesis chapter 1, he says, he looked and beheld what?
It was void
and
formless, without,
yes, was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We're talking about eternity. There was no ocean there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody else can get the understanding of that and share it with me.
Jeremiah 4:23.
Jeremiah, read a couple of verses up from that, if you would.
Okay. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish.
Ah! Jesus!
They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil.
Did you hear it?
But to do good they have no knowledge.
Did you hear it? Hallelujah. My children are stottish. Go into your interlinear and look up the word stottish. It means dull. It means obstinate. It means in a position of being in a place of pride in the aspect of your own being and who and what you are.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! And go ahead. What was the verse?
And I beheld, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light.
What would you call that? Rebellion. Huh? Sedition. Hallelujah. What did Samuel say about rebellion?
Like a witchcraft.
Oh, really? So we are rebelling and moving contrary to the concepts of God. We are not just rebelling and asserting our own position, our own will, but we're using the darkness.
Jesus, Son of God.
Come on!
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are using darkness. Husbands, wives, children, listen to me. Rebellion. You all have to deal with it. Oh, yeah, I know. Let me put it this way. Equality. Oh, yes, I'm going to touch it.
Yes.
Equality.
Yes.
Equality. Yes. It is a lie from hell.
Yes.
What is the equality between my right hand and my left hand? You know, if my right hand, they have a name for it, I think, a medical term. When one part of your body rebels against the other part of your body.
Is it
all present? I don't know. Parkinson's death. Isn't that what happens? Not just shaking. It's motor function. It's motor function. Your body begins to rebel against itself. It's not listening to the head. Hallelujah. The head tells the body to raise the arm, and the body goes. No control, no ability to function, no ability to move, no ability to accomplish even the simplest task. If you need a drink of water, you have to have somebody give it to you.
Yeah.
Because you're going like this. Huh? Come on, brethren.
Amen.
We're not talking about a physical condition. We're talking about a spiritual malady that is in the church, the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You want to be sons of God.
Amen.
If you want to be sons of God, you have to fix your problem that is preventing you from being a son of God.
Yeah. Amen.
If God is not going to divinely walk into your circumstances, sir, and say, yes, this is the magic wand, up at the dabba, boom, you're a son of God. We have to submit.
Amen.
And brother, let me tell you, it's not always submitting to the right thing sometimes. Hallelujah. A man comes up and tells you that you're a liar. What do you do? I'm not a liar!
No.
I'm not a liar! And a man says, your motive was this and this, and it was not my motive. It was not my intention. I never intended, but if he perceived it, I have to go to God and say, God, is there anything in me that would generate that type of expression? And if it's true, I have to humble myself, even if it's not true. I have to come and I have to say, I am terribly, absolutely sorry that I gave you that impression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Loose.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Loose.
We are full of human dignity.
Say that again.
Don't ask me that. We are so full of our human dignity, of who we are, what we are. You know, in marriage relationships. You know, these two right here, husband and wife, right? I'm not sure who you are, but I have something. I see something in the spirit. I see a spirit moving.
Jesus.
And you have the power to overcome it.
Amen.
You have the power to tear it down. You have the power. You have the ability to destroy it.
Amen. Jesus.
The spirit wants to bring you to a place of preeminence in your own mind, your own thinking, as being justified and right in what you are doing. But it's the spirit, and you have the power to destroy it.
In the name of
Jesus. And if you do not destroy it, it will destroy you.
In the name of Jesus.
It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your home. You have the power to change it. God is giving you the power to change it. Hallelujah. You just got to get your mind out of the way. You got to get your pride out of the way. You got to get your individual position of person of preference out of the way. And only God can do that. Go to God. Get down in prayer and fasting before God and ask God to break the power of the fiend over your hearts and over your minds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many of you have calling and election on your lives.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And there are so many things that are buying. You see, the devil sees you. Right? The devil sees you. And he sees the potential in you.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
You have the ability to destroy the devil.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have the ability to bring down the kingdom of hell that is around you.
Hallelujah.
That is inside of you, that you were born with by virtue of inheritance. You have the power. But the devil wants to distract you. He wants you to get you involved in other things. He wants to excite your emotions and this and that and things that are not productive to the Spirit of God moving within your being.
Hallelujah.
Focus upon God.
Amen.
Focus upon God. Do you hear me? Focus upon God. And God will meet you.
Amen.
God will greet you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the idea of God is not to get you out of this realm of time into eternity. It isn't as though God gave you 7,000 years to get into heaven. That is not what God was doing.
Yes, sir.
What God is doing is that let us make.
Let us make.
What does that say to you? When somebody says, let us make, what do you think? It means make, right? A process, a time frame of moving and working to produce or to accomplish something. It's not something that is done overnight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm a builder by trade. I've been a builder for over 20-some years. Hallelujah. I built businesses and commercial things as well as residential. And sometimes you do things that are wrong. And you have to go back and correct them. Sometimes you do things in the beginning stages that are wrong. And you had a feeling that it was wrong, but you went ahead and did it anyway. and you begin to understand the consequences of that mistake. But you're on up the building. The house has been raised. The wood is there in it. You might even have the framing on the top for the roof. Maybe the roof is on it. But down in your mind, yes, there is something wrong down there in the foundation.
Yeah.
And you know you have to fix it.
Amen.
Yes, oh my God.
And sometimes it requires bringing a big tractor with a big bucket on it. He comes in and you have to dismantle what you've done.
Hey.
Mm.
And not only that, but you have to make provisions for what is okay, but you don't want to disturb it. You don't want to destroy it. You just want to fix what the problem is. But it requires time. It requires money. It requires energy. And it throws your whole schedule off balance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what? The satisfaction is in all of that, that when you're done, you walk away from it, you can sign your name to it.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You know, I'm not afraid of anything I built to put my name on it. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that it was perfect, but I did the very best that I could possibly do. Hallelujah. You know, there's many different people I have worked with in the construction trade, and some of them I would drive up the wall. I just literally drive them up the wall because everything had to be really square. You know, and when you build a building, you measure this there, and you measure this here, and you measure back over here, or you take corner to corner, corner to corner, and it's off a half an inch.
Mm.
And I say, adjust it. And he says, what do you mean? We got to go back and do all of this. I said, adjust it.
Mm-hmm.
Because one day I was working on a house. They had called me in as a sub to work on the house, and I was working on framing the upstairs. And when we were building it, I found out that the bottom section of the house was 3 inches out.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, right? But the problem was, the bedroom on the second floor hung over the stairwell. Hallelujah. There's some things you can do to fix those things, but there are some things you cannot fix. And I do not want it to be like that in the spirit with God, because there are some things in the spirit God can't fix. Oh, yes. One of the things God can't fix is your attitude.
Right.
He can work to try to change it. He can show you and excite you or push you or put roadblocks in your... Are you listening, young man? Are you really listening with your spiritual ears? There's some things God can't fix. Hallelujah. You have to fix them.
That's right.
I have to fix them. Hallelujah. Man has gone through a long way to adjust the consequences. He's been inventing all kinds of doctrines. Hallelujah. One of those doctrines is called purgatory. Well, another one of those doctrines is called evolution. Isn't that what the word is, evolution?
Absolution.
What is evolution? That's the free of the slave, right? Well, he doesn't want evolution. He wants absolution. Oh, I'm so thankful we have the body of Christ.
Amen.
I mean, I'd be a man most miserable, especially when it comes to spelling and words. Hallelujah. You know, the computer really doesn't have anything on God. I have spell checkers all over the
bed.
And people who correct my English all the time, too. Hallelujah. And I appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There, God does not want you to get into... He's not taking you so you can get into eternity. God wants eternity down
there. Oh, yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have a song we sing. Heaven came down
and
glory filled my soul.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
build a house.
You know, I don't think that the church really understands being born again.
That's right.
You get born again, you wake up the next morning, you're still an American citizen. Huh? No, it's not unfortunate. It's just that you don't believe the reality of what you got. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't look at you as an American citizen. He doesn't look at you as a Nigerian. He doesn't work with you on the capacity of what it was before you were born again.
Amen.
It says that your sins...
Oh, yes, thank you.
What did it say? Come on.
Huh? Remember them no more.
So, what happened to your Nigerian?
He forgot about it.
He forgot about it.
No more. No more.
What about that? What about that? Hallelujah. Given certain situations, given certain aspects of life, and things happen in the old man, hallelujah, the old man comes up, and he displays himself, and he manifests himself, and we say, whoops, hallelujah. You know, the Romans had a way of crucifying a man that was very effective. It wasn't a cross, it was a man, a dead man. Have you ever heard of it? Huh? They would take a dead man, they would strap it to a man's back, they would bind it in such a way that it could not be unbound. That man had to carry around that dead man everywhere he went.
My God.
And what happened? Okay. Well, the doctor could probably tell you better than I could. Both of these guys, nor any of you doctors. But all of that stuff in their body, that was life, was death. And it began to ooze out of the being that was strapped on the back, and it began to be absorbed by your body.
That's right.
And as it was being absorbed, those poisons would seal your system, and you would die in a living hell.
Right.
And you know, sometimes it took weeks, maybe months.
Jesus.
But not to mention, nobody wanted to be around you, of course. Nobody except the birds that eat the flesh. Huh? Birds that eat the flesh, demons, devils, hallelujah, kicking away, hallelujah. The Bible says, who shall deliver me from this body of death?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who's going to deliver me? Who's going to deliver you? God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Jesus Christ isn't enough. He has to be Lord. He has to be Lord. Has to be Lord. So there's a process that God is bringing us through in the aspect of time. You could just as well make this like a... Huh? That's scriptural, by the way. Does anybody know where that's found?
It's supposed to be a caterpillar, right?
That's supposed to be a caterpillar. Doesn't that look like a caterpillar? Huh?
Well, why do you know what you're doing?
The thing is the poor diagram of caterpillar. That looks like a caterpillar. Well, at least it looks like a caterpillar to me. Hallelujah. Do you know that a caterpillar goes through seven stages of metamorphosis? Hallelujah. One of the brothers in Czech Republic looked it up for me one time. The Lord spoke to me about it in a meeting. I said, you know, I believe that there are seven different stages. And Brother Martin Holska went and he looked it up and he said, yes, we don't know what happens in most of those stages. except that it goes in as a butterfly, a caterpillar, and it comes out as a butterfly.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, God divided time, he divided eternity, and he made it into time. And he gave time a definitive number to accomplish, which was 7,000 years.
Amen.
From start to finish, to do what needed to be done in order to accomplish what it was that he had in the beginning. The beginning was the thought of Son. Hallelujah. The manifestation of Son. Come on, brethren. I'm talking about you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about the theology that you have heard. I'm talking about the position or the awareness of what it is that God is offering to you on a silver platter.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have the mechanics. Now, what? Okay, I want to go. He said he divided the darkness. Do you know that he divided the darkness more than once?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
He divided the darkness. Go into Genesis chapter 1. He divided the darkness more than once because he wanted to condense it. Every time he divided it, he condensed it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First of all, he took it out of eternity. Hallelujah. And he put it into the realm of time.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So time was all darkness, and he divided the darkness in time.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And there was one more division of darkness. Hallelujah. It was symbolized by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Come on. Tree. This was darkness. Huh? This was light. Come on, brethren. Huh? Come on. John chapter 1. This is the light. Let's go back. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Okay. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, you're taking them away from me, huh? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. Did you hear it? In the beginning. Hallelujah. You want to preach?
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let me go on down. In the beginning, in the same was in... I guess God just had to reiterate it. Isn't that right? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Are you able to talk yet? It's done. The same was in the beginning with God. This was written for my benefit. I'm slow. I have to have it repeated over and over again. And it finally gets in. He was there in the beginning. And it wasn't only him that was there in the beginning. It was the Word of God.
Amen.
What word? John chapter 70. Father, I have given them what?
Thy word.
Thy word is God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm running out of time, right?
No.
Huh? Are you sure?
Yes.
They seem a little tired.
No. Go ahead.
I still have 1 hour?
Yes.
Oh, I want to tell you a story. I was in a meeting in Ethiopia. And God just came down in the midst of that meeting. I mean, there was only about, how many were there? 5, 6 of us, 7? I don't know. Were you still there? No, you weren't there. Hallelujah. God came down in that meeting, and I began to share about John. I like the book of John. I love it. I mean, it's so intimate. It's not that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're not good, wonderful, and I get revelation and understanding and ministry, but John, it's not just informative, it's an intimate position, a place of relationship. I read John, I say, God, how does this man know this? And I had a vision. When I began to minister out of John, I had a vision. And in the vision, I was translated out of that little room into some place in the countryside of Israel. And I saw Jesus. And I saw his 12 disciples, and it was evening time. It was coming down. It was getting a little dark, coming down. And the scene was so real. I tell my wife every time I tell her, I said, wait till I get to step out of her shoes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I was watching them. They were gathering wood. They were going to spend the night there. They were out there in the bush, and they were gathering their sticks, and they were talking in camaraderie, and some of them were joking, you know, and kind of carrying on like guys do. And they built this fire, and they were cooking their food and things of like bread or something, I don't know. Hallelujah. And then they were settling down around, they were eating, and Jesus was talking with them. It was just so, you could just feel the presence of God. Jesus was talking to them, and they were listening. They were all listening. And the fire would be burning. That's so real, brother. So real. Hallelujah. And the fire was burning, and it began to burn down. You know how you'll get up and you'll stir the fire a little bit, throw another stick on. All those things were happening. You know, but slowly but surely, the time was getting on, it was getting darker, and they began to fall asleep. One by one, I'm thinking, wake up, you stop through talking. Hallelujah. You know, some of us can't even stay awake in this form. Nodding off. Or that, yeah, I was sitting in a meeting one time and I hear this beep, 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 beep. And I'm thinking, is that something in the spirit? What is that? Beep, 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 beep. And I turn around and the woman's got her text phone.
Oh,
my God.
Mercy. Oh my God. Well, at that time I was ministering and the phone goes off. I said to Jamal, he was translating, I said, I sure hope that isn't your phone. He says, no, brother, it's not mine. Anyway, they were falling asleep. One by one they fell asleep, but there was one man.
Yes.
One man.
Yes.
He was sitting right almost on top of the Lord. Had his head right here on his shoulder, and his head was kind of turned, looking up into the face of the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
And that fellow was John.
Amen.
And then Jesus got really into it.
Yes.
He began to talk to John about the beginning.
Amen.
You know what I think? I think as Jesus was explaining, they were translated. John was there. You cannot read John.
That's right.
You cannot read John without having the understanding or the feeling he was an eyewitness.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You cannot read John. In the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. There was such an intimacy, and God was lifting him up, and they were translating him back into time. And he was a witness. Hallelujah. Luke said, were we not witnesses? And should it not be appropriate? What is God and time to him who is eternity? Hallelujah. If he can take a man out of time and space in one place and put him into another place, how did he do it?
Jesus.
How did he do it? Call me crazy, call me a lunatic, call me anything you want to call me, but I believe in eternity, in the reality of it, and its ability to track right out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, okay, let's run it this way. Time is darkness. Hello?
That was right.
Prince, power, air. Huh? What is this?
Light.
Huh? What does it say about darkness? He has translated this. From the kingdom of darkness. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness. That's all right. He wants to be a preacher. He can be a preacher. Hallelujah. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness. You don't believe it, do you? You don't believe it, do you? You don't believe that you have eternity inside of you. You don't believe that that eternity can in somehow, some way connect.
That's right.
You don't believe it.
Right.
You're believing this. You're waiting for this. You're waiting for the end of time. Oh yes, you are. Mary and Martha had the same perception. If you had only been here. If you had only been here. Where? Here. Where? If you had only. He was here all the time. He just waited.
Yes.
He used time to his advantage.
Yes.
And then when he came on the scene, he turned time backwards.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He just didn't raise Lazarus from the dead. He turned time backwards.
Hallelujah.
So that Lazarus could start from where he finished.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The commandment to Lazarus are to the fathers of the people. Loose him. Hallelujah! And that cry is echoing because we are
like
Lazarus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you remember the scripture that when they crossed the Jordan River, what happened?
Up to Adam.
Up to Adam.
Amen.
That wasn't the time. That wasn't the town. That was the time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God moved the cross backwards. Hallelujah. To establish a reality of a principle that is inherent within us. You know, I travel back and forth. I'm time zoning all the time. Sometimes I'm in the future. Sometimes I'm in the past. Sometimes I'm in the present. I'm in the past, present, and future. Hallelujah. I pick up a phone and I talk to the future and I talk to the past. I'm time zoning all the time. Hallelujah. Ladies and people talk about jet lag. I don't know what jet lag is. It's just time zoning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! We're talking of a spiritual principle that God is talking to me about concerning my ability to move out of time into eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. Hallelujah! We're talking about the power of creation.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, sir.
I want you to think about it. The totality of what God's character is, what he consists of, is the ability to create.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He always has to create. Always has to create. Be by virtue of the light, by virtue of the life, by virtue of the fact of what he is. He always is creating, creating, creating. Do you know they say the universe is still expanding?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Why is it expanding? Because he's God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Come on, brother, run.
Amen.
You are born again. What are you born again for? Unto? And for what purpose? Hallelujah. And you're not only born again. You know, it says that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So you and I are, in the natural, born blind.
That's right.
Not only are we born dead, we're born blind.
That's right.
Hallelujah. 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 And it says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. To enter. Hallelujah. Where are you entering? Where? This is indicative of eternity. Hallelujah. This is to get eternity out of the concept of around you and into you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, if you have the power of eternity inside of you,
that's what gives you eternal life. You can argue with me all day. You know, you said, I got eternal life. I'm born again.
That means you have eternity.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
You are in a being filled with eternity. You know something? I'm not a very smart person. I'm not a scientific person. I just hear these little bits and pieces of information that come to me, and they so verify to me the magnanimity of God, the totality of God. They're finding out that the universe out here is one thing. The universe in here is an entirely different thing. Micro universalism.
Yes.
I didn't like that one. No, I can't. Micro universalism, it just keeps on going deeper and deeper. That's why, how can you measure the height?
Yes.
Now, in your thinking, brother, isn't that one and the same thing? If you're on the bottom looking up, height is best, right? No. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is fun, isn't it? Thinking about God. The totality of what he is, the magnitude of what you got inside of you, Ruby. Hallelujah. Totality. You just spoke in tongues and get those little things go up and down your back and your hair raises up on your head. Hallelujah. But you have the totality of God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totality. Let's define him. He is omnipotent. I let one of you girls spell it. Solve my dilemma. Somebody spell it. Come. He's omnipotent. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? God is omnipotent. So, what about the Spirit in you? Now, the Bible does say it's the earnestness. It's the down payment.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not minimize it. What is the down payment of omnipotence?
Hey!
Part of the whole.
Good to you.
What is the earnest? What is the down payment of omnipotence?
Hallelujah!
Is it like knowing a little bit? Huh? Is it knowing a little bit about everything? I have a son like that, by the way, you know. He just knows a little bit about everything. bless his heart. Hallelujah. It's not this one, by the way. You know, it's terrible being related to me. I give them a lot to overcome. I help in their spiritual development in forgiveness and forbearance. But what is the down payment? What is the drop? I had one man say, it's just a drop in the bucket. I said, drop of God? A drop of God. You know, I heard a message on the blood. It's one drop of blood.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Can totally wipe out every sin, every memory of sin. Can heal you so instantaneously and so miraculously. It can move things that are unmovable. One little drop of blood is able to do that.
Hallelujah.
How do you utilize it?
Well, there is an archangel called Michael.
Hallelujah.
Michael's job is carrying the blood.
Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah.
So when you invoke the power of the blood,
right,
the reason why we don't get results is because we do not believe it. Jesus told the man, says, if you believe anything. He did not qualify it. He didn't say some things, this thing, that thing, depending upon the circumstances. He didn't say that. He said, whatever you shall believe, it shall be done.
Yes. Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The trouble is, we don't believe it. We don't believe the reality of it that is in us. We want to organize it. And we want to give it a code of respectability. And we want to kind of usher and move it and work with it and direct it. Hallelujah. How do you harness the wind? How do you harness the wind? Can you harness it? Oh, you can put a fan up there and it will turn and generate power. But if it decides not to blow, you don't got no power. Hallelujah. How do you harness the wind? Hallelujah. You cannot do it. It takes the wind maker.
Yes.
It takes the source of the wind. And you know the source of the wind is he breathed in to Adam.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on. He breathed into Adam. Adam became a living soul.
Amen.
Something they had no idea or comprehension to the totality of what it was that was moving or making. They were just standing there with their mouths wide open.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says that the angels desire to look into those hidden things and the mysteries of God. Those angels desire, and God is giving it to us on a silver platter.
Hallelujah.
And we mistreat it, we abuse it, we manipulate it for our own personal gain and our position of preeminence as to what we are in the human realm when it's all going to end one day. Soon.
Jesus. I am Mama.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was a division. There was a separation in Gideon's 300, and that separation is now taking place.
That's right.
And I'm not telling you that I'm not going to be part of that separation. I have to work out my salvation.
Oh, yes.
Here. And I'm going to be put into situations of drinking water. Again and again and again and again until I am drunk out of every cup and out of every situation in the proper prescribed manner that is designated by God for me in my response to my situation. Hallelujah. That is my drinking of the water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, you have a down payment of omnipotence. Huh? How about omniscience? Somebody want to write that down? Omniscience.
Okay.
Huh? What is omniscience?
All knowing.
You know anything, everything, about anything and everything from the day that it was made and the information was given. That means that you have the tech manual to anything and everything. You have the tech manual to your soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You have a potion. You have a piece. You have a part. Down payment. How much is the down payment? Huh? Hallelujah. There was a man who was a minister, or is a minister, and he was always saying that if he had the place of being a dog in the kingdom of God, he would be happy. Hallelujah. He said that. God came to him and said, rebuke him.
Yeah.
I did not create you to be a dog. And you are not to go around barking. But you are to be a man.
Oh, yeah.
Who is my son.
Yeah,
and you are to speak the words that I give you to speak.
Amen.
As my son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 You know, it's so low. It's so low. It's so low. So low. So low. So low. Let me give you an example. I'll be here ministering and a word will pop into my mind. I don't know the word. I couldn't spell it if my life depended on it. Hallelujah. But the word is very apropos to what I am saying. You understand? And those of you who are learned know the word. Hallelujah. Where did I get that information? Where did that information come? That is so low, so low, 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 low. When I can look at something and know the reality of its composition and the way it was created and the purpose for which it was created. Not only that, knowing, but look around in the aspect. I can hear the rocks crying out.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Oh yes, I can hear the rocks. I was in a meeting one time in a very difficult place, in a place in the United States, very difficult, very dark, very hard place, and I was sitting in a meeting down like this. Hallelujah. And God came into that meeting and He blessed me.
Amen.
In my condition, in my murmuring, in my complaining.
Amen.
God came in and He lifted me up and He put my feet in the heavenly strata.
Amen.
And I'm standing there and I'm looking at this meadow. Beautiful meadow. Hallelujah. Although you could see the decay of it. And the flowers were kind of droopy and the trees were kind of hanging. And all of a sudden there was this kind of a rustling in the trees. But it was not just a rustling, it was like a song of the wind that was blowing. And as they, you know what it says, and the trees shall clap their hands.
Oh, yeah.
The trees started going like this. Because like this, big branches going like this. Like this, and that breeze was blowing, it came down into the meadow, and it began to go across the grass, and the grass began to pick up, and became so vibrant, and so green, and so, you want to get down and just chew on it. Hallelujah. And blowing across, and the flowers begin to pick up their heads, and they begin to smile.
Amen.
And I heard, He's coming.
Ah, hallelujah.
I'm listening to the song they're singing. And He says, the king is coming.
Hallelujah.
The king is coming. And something inside of me just began to boil up and to begin to laugh.
Hallelujah.
Began the joy of God, just that wind that just seemed to come into me and begin to run over me, and all of the darkness and all of the misery and all of the place, the position of self-pity and all of the things that were on top of me began to just evaporate, and I began to laugh and just to praise and to sing the Lord. Let me tell you something about creation. They know who you are.
Amen.
That's a creature. Wait. Not only does it wait, it groans.
Oh, yeah.
You walk down the street, brother. You walk past a rock. You walk past a flower. And it pokes near the flower. There's another one. Don't you see? Another one here. Hallelujah. Creation knows who you are.
Amen.
Better than what you know who you are. Creation has the revelation that waiting for.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
The creation is seeing you, not as an individual, not as a nationality. They are seeing you as a son of God that has come to deliver them. Hallelujah! This thing is so far out and beyond our imagination. Hallelujah! He says it has not entered into the mind of man. Hallelujah! What it is that God has prepared. Did you hear it? Has prepared, already made, already in place, already waiting, already there, waiting for you to come and in the dead to claim your inheritance.
Amen.
My God. And if that isn't enough for you, let me read, will you, to John. Let's go to Romans. Come on, Romans. The Lord had me as a new Christian in Romans and in Proverbs. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. For as many, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 4, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of... Oh, yes, leading. Where do you want me to go today? Go to Italy. Go to Rome. Go to Africa. Go here. No. That are led by the Spirit of God. Where's God going to lead you to? He's going to lead you to the position of your ability to handle the eternity and to orchestrate that creation power that is within you. He's going to turn you loose.
Amen.
Did you hear me? He's going to turn you loose.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. I wondered if I'd see you. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you, dear.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
He's going to turn you loose.
Thank God.
Romans, they that are led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are the sons of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you know where the magnitude of your power comes into play? Do you know where it is the most evident? Do you understand the reality of what it is? God gives you the power to submit.
Amen.
We don't like that word, do we? God gives you and I the power to submit. Oh, we want to tear down kingdoms. We want to break up the hell's network. We want to come in and bind these devils. But the binding of the devils is of no benefit unless you are submitting to the gospel.
Hallelujah.
You must be born again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must submit. You must obey. You must yield yourself to the members of the body that God is wanting to formulate and bring into a position or a place so that He can attach the head of God to it. Until the head is attached, there's nobody. It's just a carcass. Until the head is attached, there's nobody. It's just a carcass. God, allow my head to be removed.
Jesus.
Okay. Satan said, I will. 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 7 times. He said, I will. Hallelujah. Rebellion. Rebellion. Why do you think there's so many doctrines out here? Why do you think there's so much quibbling over baptism? Why do you think there's so much aspect of once saved, always saved, or other doctrines that are coming out that God is going to save anything and everything? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a process, brother. There is a process. There is a process. I must submit to the
Amen.
Process.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And brethren,
Amen.
This is the line of demarcation. This is the line of demarcation. This is where you prove your individuality or your position of submission totally, absolutely, unequivocally. No ands, no ifs, no buts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you want a scripture with regards to that position of reference, it says of Jesus Christ that when he was reviled, when he was reviled against,
yes.
he reviled not again.
Yes.
Amen. But committed it unto God who judges all things righteously.
Amen.
I used to have a friend who was always wanting to defend me. I told him one day, I said, stop defending me. I said, I need no defense. Hallelujah. Stop defending me. I said, if I have stopped defending myself, you have
stopped. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are we willing to pay the price? Brethren, this is the line of demarcation. The two sons of Aaron came in with their own fire. They came here. They came from here. They came in here. They came in here. They were doing all of their ritualism and service. It was only when they came to this point that the fire jumped off of the altar onto them. And you know something? God said to Aaron, don't mourn.
Yes. That's right.
Hallelujah.
How would you like that?
Jesus.
I have children, I have grandchildren. But God said, do not shed a tear. Do not weep. Do not mourn. Do not wear a long face. This is the demarcation line. This is where the church is at.
Right.
The Holy Place Church. This church is done with. This is the Holy Place Church. This is where the church is at.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
Amen.
Golden altar of incense. God bless you.